Brothers and sisters, St. Augustine said that during the Easter season, we focus on the happiness that will be ours in the future. What we celebrate during the Easter season, the great saint added, points to something that we do not yet possess. Hence, during the Easter season, both at Mass and in the Office of Readings, the Church pores over the Book of Revelation, which records St. John the Divine's vision of the new heaven and new earth. We're told that at the end of time, God will recreate the heavens and the earth. This is an important concept for us Christians. It sets us apart from many other faiths that hold ideas to the effect that we need to be liberated from the physical realm in order to attain union with God or a higher power. Christians reject this notion and instead make the claim that creation, although fallen, is a means to attain union with God, and that salvation is not freedom from the physical realm, but a renewal of the physical realm. St. John the Divine was given a glimpse of this renewed physical realm in which he saw the New Jerusalem. This New Jerusalem was described in our second reading today. I hope you were paying attention. The New Jerusalem is depicted as a gift from God. Notice that this city is not constructed by human beings or even the angels, but that it comes down out of heaven from God. Therefore, it is properly called a holy city. Within this holy city, the entirety of scriptures are brought together in poetic harmony. The city is described as having 12 gates on which are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. The gates face out to the world in every direction. Gates are, of course, permeable barriers. They're the proper means through which people enter a city. These gates are meant to depict the fulfillment of God's covenant with Israel, that through Israel, all nations would be brought to God. St. John the Divine speaks of the city walls. Walls give the city its permanent structure. They determine the shape and form of the city. They delineate the city, defining what is inside the city and what is outside the city. In this holy city, we're told that on the foundation of the walls are written the names of the 12 apostles. This signifies that the New Jerusalem is built on the faith of the apostles. Having received the ability to bind and to loosen, the apostles define the boundaries of the city. We then hear a rather peculiar detail about this city. St. John the Divine says that there is no temple in this city. Recall that the temple was essential to the practice of the Jewish faith, for it was the dwelling place of God, the place of right worship. The reason that there's no temple in this holy city, St. John says, is that the temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. In other words, the entirety of this new city is the dwelling place of God. The entirety of this city is the place of proper worship. Therefore, the city needs no light to illuminate from the outside, for its light is the glory of God that radiates from within. Friends, it's the arrival of this city that we anticipate every time we celebrate Mass. Just as this city is the proper place of worship, so too is the Mass. When we enter a church, we enter into the new heavens and the new earth. This is why most churches are built without a view to the outside world. Rather than looking to the outside world, we're meant to be drawn into this new realm. The new heaven is signified by the sanctuary area, and the new earth by the nave. Hence, in many churches, you'll see images of heavenly things, such as angels in the sanctuary, and earthly things in the nave. The altar rails that adorn many churches, admittedly fewer since Vatican II, exist to outline the boundaries between the new heaven and the new earth. This boundary is, of course, permeable, with a gate that allows access between the two, showing that while separate, the two realms are in fact united. Just as the New Jerusalem has walls built on the foundation of the apostles, so too the Catholic Church. The faith of the Catholic Church is the faith of the apostles, who were taught by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised in the gospel readings that we just heard. It's from this faith, held by the apostles, that the Mass flows. The holy city didn't need a temple, for it had the Lamb of God as its point of right praise. So too the Mass. The Mass isn't focused on man-made edifices or human practices, but on the presence of Jesus Christ. We're informed that Christ is present at the Mass in his ministers, in the people, in the Word of God proclaimed, and most importantly, Jesus Christ is present in the sacrament of the Eucharist, which is the focal point of the Mass. St. John informed us that this holy city has no need for sun or moon or any other source of light, for it radiates from within. The glory of God and the Lamb of God is its lamp. So too the Mass. This isn't to say that we don't need physical light during Mass. Rather, it's to say that that in Mass, we don't call upon external sources of enlightenment. God himself is present, and he alone is our source of enlightenment. We have no use for the sun and moon when God's glory is shining upon us. When we receive the Eucharist, we receive God. And like the New Jerusalem, his light radiates from within us. This is depicted rather nicely in Christian art. Specifically, I think of icons. I don't know if any of you have ever noticed, but icons don't have shadows. There's no external source of light shining upon their subject. Rather, their subjects are so linked with God that they radiate God's glory, illuminating all who gaze upon them. The same is true of stained glass windows. We can look at our own beautiful stained glass windows that we have here in this church. In a stained glass window, we're meant to see the light shining through the window, through the glass. We don't need to have light shining on it, but it's illuminated and it radiates from within. As people of faith, people who have been illuminated by Christ, we must allow that light to shine forth, so that it may draw all people into the holy city, the proper place of worship, into the church. A city, after all, is meant to be communal. The church is that great city, that New Jerusalem, composed of people from all over the world, north, south, east, and west. This vast company of witnesses are sacramentally united to the Lamb of God and to one another. They radiate a light more powerful than the sun and moon combined, and are commissioned to draw all people to the source of their light, to Jesus Christ. St. Augustine ended his commentary on the Easter season by stating that as we look to the happiness that will be ours in the future in the New Jerusalem, we're moved to praise God. As members of the church, we come to Mass to offer God right praise. When we leave Mass, we do so with the instruction to glorify God by our lives. This simple instruction reminds us that we are connected to that New Jerusalem, that God's glory shines through us who have been sacramentally united to him, and that it's our duty to allow the light of God, allow the light of God's glory to shine forth always and everywhere, at home, at work, at school, even in the parking lot, so that others will be drawn towards the light, towards the church, towards the city that is the place of true and right worship. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who radiate the light of Christ.